we think back about 9/11, 21 years ago, how our nation was in dilemma and how God has brought us through that. Of course, a lot of things changed after that. For several weeks and months, people were getting back to the house of God and prayer was picking up. Things were on the mend, but it didn't take long until the world and particularly America got back in the same old pattern. But let's open our Bibles this morning to the second book of Kings. Second book of Kings. And as they were singing that song, that last song, Come and See, the word see kindly stuck in my mind. And you think about, we didn't get to see the man Jesus. We read about him. He comes to live in their heart. But we didn't see him. Reminds me of portraits. You know, we don't have a portrait of Jesus. Some have drawn pictures of Jesus, but no one knows how he looks. But I love portraits. I love taking pictures. And I can't draw pictures. I've had art classes. Wasn't any better after I got through the class than I was before. But the Word of God gives us portraits. In your mind, it gives us portraits. And that's what we have this morning. Remember the story about the Shunammite woman and Elisha. And if you look at the story of the Shunammite woman with Elisha, it paints a portrait. It's a perfect picture. And it shows you and I what God wants to do with us. Let's read the text together, and we'll begin reading in the fourth chapter of 2 Kings. At this particular time, Elisha, remember, when Elijah went up, he caught the mantle. God anointed him and used him many times. This is just one particular episode of his life, how God used him. But a lot of people didn't like Elijah, particularly those people who weren't going to do right. And the kings didn't like him. He just told it like it was because God always told him what to say. I love that. So let's look at the 8th verse of chapter 4. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, which was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool. And the candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned to the chamber and lay there. First of all, we see a reverence. This great woman, God called a great woman. If God calls something great, in his sight, it's great. You and I look at things, we look at situations, we look at a lot of things and we put different labels on it. To some of us, certain happenings we call great and others don't pay much attention. But when God says a great woman, then keep your eyes on what God is doing in the life of this woman. She knew that Elisha was God's man. She told her husband, I perceive God's let me know that this is a man of God. Now he's passing through and he needs a place to lay. Just modest things that she did, nothing elaborate. Let's just build on to the side of her house and have a stool and a bed and feed him, of course. But we notice now the reverence that she had in God's work. And remember, as we're going through her life that God shows us about her life, we're going to see a reverence. And when you and I have a reverence for God's word, his work, we honor it. We say it's special. And she knew. She couldn't follow Elijah. I'm not sure she even knew all the miracles that God had used him to perform. It didn't matter. God told her, you have a job to do. Convince your husband that you need to help this man. A reverence, not just put it up, but from the heart. And then as oft as he passed by, he felt welcome. And he was compelled to go in, and there he lay. And then this particular day, the Bible says in verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. You see, God has a recompense program. He wants to repay those people that have a reverence for his work. Now, this woman didn't, no doubt, put a whole lot of emphasis on the fact of all the things that Elisha had been doing, because she didn't know, but she knew he was doing God's work. And she had a love for it. She loved the work of God, and she loved the people that worked for God. And this reverence work that she had, God paid attention to it. You see, when you do things, God keeps a record. And he has a recompense program. We're going to look the rest of the message at God's recompense program. How he, in his will and in his mind, he gives to us according to as how we give to the Lord. Most things, most promises in the Word of God are proportional. God says, if you'll do this, I'll do this. And it's according to how we do those things that God told us to do, whether we have a reverence for him or we just do it. Coming to church, for instance, we know it's the Lord's day, and we know Paul says, fail not to assemble yourselves as a matter of some have neglected that promise, but we're supposed to fail not. So we're here, thank God for every one of us. But we have something else that God looks at. He looks at the reverence we carry, how excited we are, how much preparation we have made. We are trusting him. It's not just a duty to come to the house of God. It's a love that we have. And then all week long, a reverence for God's work. And let's look at the recompense program. God will do something. And as he's laying there that night, Elisha said in his heart, what can I do for this woman? She sure loves me and she loves God. And I know God's going to repay. And he had the direct line of God, of course. So let's look at verse 12 through verse 17. And let's see this recompense program that God has. And it's not just limited to the Shunammite woman. It's still in effect. It works in your life and my life. According to how we promote God's word and according to how we have a longing in our heart to do God's work, he keeps those records. It's not just what you do, but how you do it and how much you love for it. So verse 12 says, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wilt thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. In other words, God knew her heart. She's not doing it for prestige. She's not doing it hoping Elisha next time he passes by and seeing the wicked king, although he did have an audience with the wicked king so many times, and this wicked king, Ben-Hadad, did not particularly like him. But now God has a use for him, and he's going to do a mighty work in his life. And now he wants to do something for this woman. This woman says, I'm not doing this for prestige, for honor, for anything else. I'm doing it because I want to promote and have a reverence for God's work. Remember Solomon, when he loved God, he was appointed king, and he went up and offered 1,000 sacrifices before God. He didn't do it for reward. He just loved God. He needed God's help. And God says to him, I've been watching. I've been observing. You have a reverence for God's work. What can I do for you? And the only thing he asked for was wisdom from God to lead his people. See, it wasn't about Solomon having all the riches he had later on. He didn't expect it. He didn't want it. What he wanted to do was have wisdom from God to lead his people. And God says, well, since you had that, you've got wisdom, but in my recompense program, I always give back far more than you give me. Yes, you've given all these sacrifices, but you see, I'm going to give you riches too. I'm going to give you honor and fame. See, God's recompense program that he has, the reward program, and it's still available today for anyone that's interested. Just get a a desire in your heart to have a reverence, a longing for, an honor to be able to do God's work from your heart, and God will kick in his program. But look what happens in verse 15, or verse 16. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. God says to Elisha, this woman has been so good, and she has honored you, and she has promoted you, and she's really, if you do it into the least of these, my brother, you've done it to me, Jesus said, a cup of cold water in my name. She's done more than that. So now, since she had this reverence for God's work, this recompense program says, you're going to have a son, not just a child. You're going to have a son. And it's going to be according to the time of your life. And she didn't believe it. She didn't expect it, but it happened anyway. But let's go farther, because now we see that they have other resources, not just the fact that she's going to have a child. But see, when you enroll from your heart, and God's program of giving to the Lord, then it is a thing that's going to happen, and the resources just keep on coming our way. Let's keep reading, and let's see what happens now. First of all, there's going to be a resurrection. We won't read the whole text. But now life goes on. Elisha is back where he dwells. Gehazi is there. And this young man, this boy, was out helping his dad in the fields. And then suddenly he has a headache, and then he dies. But she knows that she had been enrolled in a resource program, that there's no limitation according to the desires of your heart. I'm going to help you out. So look what happens in verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. This woman was not only a great woman in God's sight. She had a lot of resources. Her and her husband had a farm. They employed other people, and they were working in the field. They were well-to-do. God just kept increasing them. And then look what happens. He fell sick. And verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. The child died. But she says, I remember what God's told me. Not only did he give me a son, but this man's got connections. He could went to the king, but I know he can get to God. So I'm going to lay him on the man of God's bed. And I got a feeling that she's laying her dead child there. There is that confidence. Because, see, she didn't believe last time that I'll have a child, but when God promises and he does it, same for you and I. He's given so many promises. And when he does it, gives us more confidence. So she now is going to see the man of God. And she called upon her husband. Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore will I go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. In other words, no particular time that you cannot get to God. Anytime you have a need, you can get to God. And it wasn't a special holiday. It wasn't a new moon or a Sabbath. But she knew she had an audience with God because she had been enrolled in God's resource program. And verse 24. Then she saddled her ass and went and to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite, special lady, God-favored lady. And then he goes ahead and finds out her need, and now he's going to do something about it. Look at verse 28. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Verse 33. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of a child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come up in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. You see, God has a resurrection program. And it's a type right now that you and I have children or grandchildren perhaps. And they may go wayward and they may go worldly. And the devil tries to get them and tries to kill them. But remember, if you have enrolled by a reverence for God's work and acted upon it, and God has enrolled you in his resource program, there is resurrection power. That your children, God will save them. Train up a child in the way he will go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So this recompense program God has is for our children. And it worked for her. So far, God had given her a child, and now he has resurrected that child. That child has come from the dead, and that's what happens. We're dead when we're born, no matter what your children do, and how wonderful and sweet they are. They are dead in trespasses and sin, just like you were and just like I am. But according to God's program, he'll raise them up from that deadness to sin and the world. And although they're born that way, God's going to resurrect them and save them by the grace of God. But we've got two more points. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. A few years has went by now. But you see, there is some reassurance God gives us along the journey after he saves their children. And we're still living, the children's growing, the family's enlarging. God gives us some reassurance that we're still in his program. He has a watchful eye over every one of us. He cares for us. He knows today. He knows the future. And if we will let him, he'll prepare us for the future. Look what happens at God's reassurance of a lifetime guardianship. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life several years later, saying, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. He didn't go to everyone. There was thousands of people, no doubt, in the land, and the famine was going to come upon everyone. But who did God send Elisha to? The woman that had a reverence for the work of God. In a great way, God says, a great woman. And God's got his eye on you. He's got his eye on me. And if we have that reverence, and God will resurrect our children from the dead life of sin and save them. Then we go through life, and famines come, dry times, hard times, any kind of situation comes. And God will give us the reassurance that I'll watch over you, I'll guide you, I'll send you where you need to be. I'll take care of your every need. But look what happens now. The woman could have ignored it. She had a wonderful farm. We know they employed reapers. And she said, I already had told him that I don't want to go to the big city. I don't want any fame and fortune. I'm just content here. But Elisha says, you've got to move because a famine's coming here. And God's going to take care of you. But you have to take care of yourself too. You have to mind the Lord. Look what happens. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And during these dry times that the Lord allows, orchestrates, sends, sometimes to your life and mine. But remember that we know that we know. We're still enrolled in his program, and he will give us the reassurance. He speaks, and he tells us what we need to do. The problem is a lot of us don't always want to hear. It would be very hard now if she was reared on that farm. It could have been passed down through the generation. She already said, I dwell here with my people, don't want to go anywhere, don't want to do anything. I'm content. Sometimes God gets us out of that contentment, and he sends us. And it looks really bad for her for a while, but God's going to take care of her. And she has the assurance now. And she has been reassured that God's going to take care of me, and he did. Lastly, God has a restores. He restores. And as God restores that which was lost during the dry times, during the sicknesses, whatever it is in their life, this restoration program that he has for us, we will be restored completely. I remember, I've told it a lot of times, but God wants me to tell you, I didn't plan to. But when I was in the hospital with peritonitis, I'd first come to the church, you know, 28 years ago. I've been here longer than that, but I was 28 years ago, and I went to the hospital. And there I lay, and 35 days peritonitis, and didn't know if I'd live or die. But God spoke to me during those times. In fact, during that particular time, 35 days, I learned better to listen to God than I never would have learned like that again had he not went through that. And he spoke to me and asked me questions. And he promised me, as soon as I get you through this, and I will, and I get you over this, and I will, and my purpose is going to be done. During that time, Darren surrendered to preach. Gina got saved. Thought she was saved. And 22 people, best I remember, first Sunday I came back, I didn't even preach. Darren preached, and he wasn't even a preacher yet. But he spoke, and 22 people got saved that Sunday morning here at our church. And God promised me, I'll restore your health as before. And for either 16 or 18 years, I didn't even have a common cold. God restored me. Because I went through this program with him, and he promised that restoration would come my way. And he did. Let's look at the restoration now. She's gone 7 years, long time. While she's gone, and no doubt it wasn't a complete famine, because people were, it wasn't like killing people, but it was dry, and it was not prosperous like God wanted her to be. But somebody had inhabited her farm. I don't know if it was the government or the king or somebody. But anyway, when she got home, the farm was gone. Or it was still there, but she didn't have access to it. But remember, she had been enrolled in a registration program, restoring program. Look what happens in verse 3. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. See, her property had been stolen. Her possessions had been stolen, taken over by someone else. And there was a program that if you can get to the king, only he can restore it. And when you and I come through these desperate times, through famines and dry times, and you'll think you'll never make it, but God will see to it that he guides you in the right direction so you will make it. And then when he brings you back, and you say, all hope is gone, everything is lost. Oh, no, no, no. just like the king of the land had the ability to restore, the king of all glory has the ability to restore us. And remember, we are in his program if we're saved and if we have a life here with Christ and God and we're serving him in the capacity he wants us to. But now let's look what happens. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body. Let's look at verse 4. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray, all the great things that Elisha has done. Look how God puts things together. It's amazing. Of course, only he could do this. This king who did not even have a high respect, many times the word of God, this king did not have a high regard for Elisha. In fact, there's instances where he hated him. But nonetheless, God has put in this king's heart, go and talk to the servant of Elisha, Gehazi, and I want to know what great things Elisha has done. What's some of the miracles he's performed? Although the king didn't want to be a part of the miracles, he still, God had sent him there. At the same time, the woman comes from the Philistines, and she is headed to the king. At the same moment, not just same day, not just same month, at the same moment that the king was persuaded in his heart to go talk to Gehazi to find out the great things Elisha had done, at that very moment, Gehazi is telling him about the dead boy, which just happened to be the Shunammite's son. And at that very instant, the Shunammite woman walks up. See how God restores? There's no limit with God. Now, this woman needs to get to the king to get her possessions back. And without the king knowing her, then she would probably not even have audience with the king. But because Gehazi was being asked about his master, look what happens at the very moment. Read again. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is a woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. The son was a coming. I was just telling you, had just asked some of the great things, and we talked about the other great things, but when I got to the part about the dead boy being raised, here he is, God's timing. Just when you think you get through a hardship and you don't think there's a way out, and it seems that all hope is gone. And for her, she'd not got an audience with the king. She came back to a place where she had no possessions. It was gone. But God's perfect timing, his restoring program that he had for her. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Not only did she get her farm back and everything she had, but there was a little crops going on in the midst of the drought. And she even got all that back and didn't even have to work for it. See, God has bonus programs too, not just restoration, but he puts in bonuses. Ain't God good? And we heard this story and we read that story and we preached about this story about the Shunammite woman, all because that she found favor with God and had the heart to do God's work. It was more than work. It was more than an idea. It was a deep reverence for God's work. And God saw that and he used Elisha. And Elisha spoke the words, and the child was given, and the child was revived, and the provision was made, and the resources were there. Everything she needed in her life was there. And God's got the same program for anyone interested today. He's not changed. And God's word is not changed. No doubt, if any one of you that really has a love for God and are in row, you look back at your life and you see God's happening, God's timing. And then God has bonuses for every one of us. That only will he will restore, he will repay in full. Such a sorrowful thing that people don't sign up for God's free programs. I mean, no doubt people get on the internet and they're looking for all kinds of help, and that's okay. You know, the best insurance policies and the best of everything, you know, who do I get my insurance for? Where do I buy a new car? We do research, and we try our best, and that's okay. But simply have a heart for God and have a reverence for God's work, and God takes over. And the bad times come, but God's with you and directs you through it. There's nothing so satisfying and gratifying as to be a servant of God and to be in his will. Thank you for that first song as we sang that song. And it said, submission. God gigged my heart. So boy, that goes with the message. Songs always do go with the message because God orchestrates them. But if you and I would be submitted, and would be in the center of his will and get enrolled in God's program that he wants to restore, he wants to recompense, pay in full and pay over. It's possible. It's a world's unfriendly and getting worse. And it was then, but it's worse now. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Brother Randy, come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. God has a program. I don't understand why anyone's not willing to get involved in it. It just takes giving him your heart. I didn't say you wouldn't say. I'm talking about giving him your whole heart. Be completely submissive to him. Be in the center of his will. And God will help you and guide you no matter what comes our way. And no doubt a lot of things that we've never seen will come our way. Already have and they're coming. Oh, but God has a program. Simple. You just have a heart for him, and God will do the rest. Altar's open, whatever your needs are this morning.